The following program is a presentation of UALR's College of Arts, Humanities and Social Sciences, the Arkansas Symphony, and UALR Public Radio.
This is Jeffrey Robson for the Arkansas Symphony Orchestra, and you are listening to At the Symphony. In this program, we will preview and explore the music of the Arkansas Symphony Orchestra's Masterworks series, which will resume this weekend with our annual Beethoven and Blue Jeans celebration. This week's program will take us on a tour of one of the great Western music capitals of the world. Vienna was not only home to many of the great classical masters like Mozart, Beethoven, and Schubert, but gave rise to the great tradition and style and culture of the Viennese waltz in the 19th century. To represent this, we'll hear music of the great master of the Viennese waltz, Johann Strauss Jr. Also, the diversity of the musical culture of Vienna in the 20th century is reflected in the music of the pianist and composer Friedrich Gulda, who we'll hear more about when we listen to his concerto for cello and wind orchestra. The music of Johann Strauss Jr. is synonymous with the Viennese waltz, the fast-paced, twirling ballroom dance tradition that emerged around 1800. His operetta, Die Fledermaus, premiered in 1874 and is an international favorite, comically depicting the debauchery of the Viennese aristocracy in an absurd tale of masquerade balls, drinking to excess, mistaken identities, and good old-fashioned pranks. The overture, which has become a favorite part of the concert repertory, is often performed on the famous New Year's concert of the Vienna Philharmonic. It plays like a celebration of life and the human spirit. The music truly speaks for itself, so here it is, the overture to Die Fledermaus, as performed by the Vienna Philharmonic, conducted by Carlos Kleiber. That was the Vienna Philharmonic performing Johann Strauss Jr.'s Overture to Die Fledermaus. That work will open this weekend's Masterworks Concerts of the Arkansas Symphony Orchestra. Those concerts are this Saturday, November 9th at 8 p.m. and November 10th at 3 p.m. at the Robinson Center Music Hall in downtown Little Rock. It is the annual Beethoven and Blue Jeans extravaganza this weekend, which means the street in front of the concert hall will be closed for a beer and brats party starting 2 hours before each performance. It also means that the orchestra will be dressed down and the atmosphere will be festive. This will be a great setting to feature the music of Friedrich Gulda, a Viennese pianist and composer with a very interesting background. Gulda, who died in 2000, was an accomplished concert pianist. His recordings of Mozart and Beethoven are highly regarded. He was also an accomplished jazz musician and composer. His personality was such that he despised the conservative traditions of the concert hall and frequently went to great lengths to disrupt them, including in such acts as performing a concerto in the nude and once faking his own death in a press release so that his next performance could be billed as his resurrection. He considered classical music and jazz to be equal components of his musical personality, and his discography and compositions reflect that. His concerto for cello and wind orchestra is like a whirlwind tour of musical styles. The first movement has two main themes. The first is based on a bluesy rock and roll riff complete with drums and bass. To me, it evokes Herbie Hancock's classic Watermelon Man. The second theme sounds like a lyrical intermezzo from a mid-19th century opera. Here is the first movement, performed by cellist Friedrich Kleinhoppel with the jazz big band Graz. Thank you. That was the first movement of Friedrich Gulda's Concerto for Cello and Wind Orchestra, written in 1980. This piece will be performed in its entirety this weekend by the Arkansas Symphony Orchestra in a pair of concerts at the Robinson Center this Saturday and Sunday. The solo cello part is complex and demanding, needing a cellist with a deep understanding of a wide variety of musical styles. The ASO will feature guest artist Inbal Segev this weekend, who fits the bill with her tremendous musical versatility. She's an accomplished cellist with all of the great standard works under her belt, and enthusiastically performs new works, a number of which have been written for her. She's won numerous prestigious competitions and has degrees from the Juilliard School and Yale University. The second movement of the Gulda Concerto feels a bit like an inner movement of a Mahler symphony, lyrical nocturne-like musical lines, a pastoral feel, and a waltz that evokes a Ländler folk dance comprise this movement. Here is an excerpt. That was from the second movement of Friedrich Gulda's Cello Concerto. The third movement is a solo cadenza that involves improvisation from the solo cellist. It begins with a recitative-style opening that has a few notes in common with the opening recit of the last movement of Beethoven's Ninth Symphony. It continues as a free-form fantasy improvisation with extraordinary technical demands made of the performer. Here is more from cellist Friedrich Kleinhoppel in an excerpt of his version of this cadenza to Gulda's Cello Concerto. Once again, that was cellist Friedrich Kleinhoppel performing an excerpt from Friedrich Gulda's Concerto for Cello and Wind Orchestra. The orchestra required for this piece is quite small. One flute, two oboes, two clarinets, one bassoon, two trumpets and horns, one trombone, tuba, guitar, bass, and drums. That combination helps to give the piece a bit of a pared-down, folksy feel. There are five movements. The fourth is a minuet that features the guitar and tambourine prominently with the cello in a very neoclassical movement that sounds a bit like an Italian folk song that's been imported to Vienna. Here's a very short excerpt from the fourth movement. Thank you. The final movement is entitled Finale alla Marcia. It is a complete romp to the finish, a fast, almost bawdy-sounding march that is also very difficult for the cellist and has a showy finish. It also has solo passages for most of the instruments in the wind band. Once again, you can hear this piece in its entirety this weekend, but for now, here is the end of Friedrich Gulda's Concerto for Cello and Wind Orchestra. That was the conclusion of Friedrich Gulda's Concerto for Cello and Wind Orchestra, performed by cellist Friedrich Kleinhoppel and the big band Graz. The Arkansas Symphony Orchestra will perform this piece with cellist Inbal Segev this weekend as the symphony returns to the stage for its annual Beethoven and Blue Jeans celebration. Visit ArkansasSymphony.org for ticket information or call the box office at 501-666-1761. Beethoven's Fourth Symphony is often overlooked by casual fans of symphonic music, primarily because it is surrounded by epic greatness in Beethoven's catalog of works. The Fourth Symphony, however, is truly an inspired piece. Whereas the Third Symphony is about hero worship and challenging the boundaries of the symphonic medium with its length and difficult content, the Fourth Symphony sits more comfortably within the symphonic form. It has the feel of a piece that came to him easily as a composer. The first movement is fast and fiery, and not without a certain amount of joy. Beethoven's mature music also has a certain grit to it that's instantly identifiable, even if one is not familiar with a particular work. It is as if you can hear the air rushing out of the string instruments and whirling above into the concert hall. We are listening to a recording of the Vienna Philharmonic, conducted by Leonard Bernstein. We've been listening to Beethoven's Fourth Symphony in B-flat major. Many have surmised that the inspiration for this work was a woman, possibly a certain Countess Teresa von Brunswick. In the spring and summer of 1806, Beethoven resided in Hungary on the estate of Count Brunswick, and Countess Teresa was Brunswick's sister. It was a relatively tranquil and happy time in Beethoven's life, and I believe you can hear it in his music from that period, which includes his Fourth Symphony. Beethoven's Third and Fifth Symphonies are full of struggle. There's ultimately triumph in both of them, but each symphony is truly a journey. The struggle is gone in this work, his Fourth Symphony, and there really is a sense of ease throughout. This does not make the work less inspired. The second movement, Adagio, is one of his singularly most beautiful slow movements, comparable in beauty perhaps to the slow movement of his Ninth Symphony, or the second movement of the Emperor Piano Concerto, or Pathetique Sonata. Here again is the Vienna Philharmonic under the direction of Leonard Bernstein. Again, that was from Beethoven's Fourth Symphony in B-flat major, opus 60. The third movement, Scherzo, continues this delightful work. Again, it sounds like Beethoven was truly enjoying writing the piece, and it seems to flow naturally and with ease. The fourth movement is playful and coy. This piece has inspired some of the most glowing commentary from fellow composers that he ever received. And of course, we all know the high regard with which most composers regard Beethoven. Robert Schumann called the Fourth Symphony a slender Greek maiden between two Norse giants, of course, referring to the Third and Fifth Symphonies of Beethoven. Hector Berlioz, the famous French composer, wrote that the second movement seems to have been sighed by the Archangel Michael one day when, seized by an access of melancholy, he stood upon the threshold of the Empyrean and contemplated the worlds. Now we will listen to the conclusion of the Scherzo movement and the finale in its entirety. One more time, here is the Vienna Philharmonic under the direction of Leonard Bernstein. Thank you. You've been listening to Beethoven's Symphony No. 4 in B-flat major and a recording of the Vienna Philharmonic conducted by Leonard Bernstein. You can hear this wonderful work in its entirety this weekend as the Arkansas Symphony Orchestra resumes its Stella Boyle Smith Masterworks series with its annual Beethoven in Blue Jeans celebration. The concerts will feature music of Johann Strauss Jr., Viennese composer Friedrich Gulda, and the giant of them all, Ludwig van Beethoven. The concerts are at 8 p.m. on Saturday, November 9th, and 3 p.m. on Sunday, November 10th. Don't forget about the Beer and Bratz street party 2 hours before the concert out in front of the Robinson Center. And as usual, the concerts will be preceded by concert conversations, a pre-concert talk given by music director Philip Mann himself. Those will be 1 hour before each performance downstairs in room 102 of the Robinson Center. Also featured will be guest artist Inbal Segev, cellist for Gulda's Concerto for Cello and Wind Orchestra. Until then, this is Jeffrey Robson for the Arkansas Symphony Orchestra, and we'll see you at the Symphony.
You have been listening to At the Symphony with Jeffrey Robson, a presentation of UALR's College of Arts, Humanities, and Social Sciences, the Arkansas Symphony, and UALR Public Radio.